This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى المجتبى. My dear respective brothers and sisters, as announced, inshallah ta'ala, today we want to speak about the trials and the tribulations and how to go about dealing with them. And maybe inshallah ta'ala we will walk away today having introduced a new characteristic into our lives. You know, my brothers and my sisters, as many of us are aware, that the depression levels are increasing, the stress levels are increasing as time goes on. Also, mental health issues are on the rise. Suicidal thoughts, even amongst many youngsters today, is on the increase. Recently, my brothers and my sisters, when I gave a lecture on social media, on the issue and the dangers of social media, I gave the congregation, those who attended, a couple of stats. And I'm going to share that with you guys as well, inshallah ta'ala, so that we know the kind of monster we are dealing with. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, لا يأتي زمان إلا الذي بعده شر منه. There doesn't come a time except that the time that comes after it is worse. And wallahi, we are seeing this. And when a person finds himself in this situation, if he doesn't know how to go about dealing with some of these challenges, then what kind of decision is he going to make? I personally know, my brothers and my sisters, multi-millionaires who have everything that they need, but he's so sad and depressed in his life. He has reached a point where he wants to take his life. And with depression on a rise, mental health on a rise, our kids could be suffering really badly inside and we don't have a clue how to maybe even going out and dealing with these situations. And these devices that they have is playing a big role in how they become and some of the challenges and difficulties that they are experiencing. There is a major research project that looks into children's lives, and they call this the Millennium Cohort Study, where they looked into the lives of 14-year-olds or 11,000 14-year-olds. And wallahi, my brothers and my, some of these stats are going to be shocking. So brace yourself with what you're about to hear. They done this research on 11,000 14-year-olds. Put your hand up if you're 14. Only one? Huh? Two. How old are you? 15. And you? 19. Sorry, I thought you were 16. That's a compliment. Huh? MashaAllah. So they stated, my brothers and my sisters, it found that many girls spend far more time using social media than boys. And also that they are much more likely to show signs of depression linked to their interactions on platforms such as WhatsApp, Instagram, aka Fitnagram, that's what my sheikh called it 7 years ago, and Facebook, aka Fiskbook. If you ask me what is the worst platform that a child can use today, I would say, with hands on heart, Instagram. A'udhu billahi min. When I first was given the account, I never opened it. Brothers like Imran, they forced me to, have a Instagram account because they told me all the kids are on there. And if you want to get to the kids, you're going to have a social media account on Instagram. And they also told me one thing. You know what that was? Don't press the search button. The moment you click the search button, what do we see? All types of filth and evil. أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ Most of us would agree, right? And they mention also that almost 40% of girls who spend more than 5 hours a day on social media, they show symptoms of depression. Let me repeat that again. Almost 40% of girls who spend more than 5 hours a day on social media, they show symptoms of depression. They also mention most girls with depression are unhappy with their appearances. And 2.5 times more likely than boys to be dissatisfied with their weight. And you know, my brothers and my sisters, I'm going to inshallah ta'ala touch on this issue later as to why we might sometimes feel depressed. There's a number of reasons as to why, my brothers and my sisters, we might be afflicted by a calamity or we might go through some of these trials and these tribulations. But how do I know which one it is? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what? وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ Never are you afflicted with a calamity except that this is because of what your own hands have earned. In another ayah, Allah tells us وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Never are you afflicted with a calamity except that this is because of the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we have other textual evidences where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ شَخْصًا ابْتَلَاهُ If Allah loves a person, He trials him. So how do I know which one it is? Is it because Allah Azza wa Jal loves me? Huh? The moment I go through a difficulty, don't worry brother, Allah loves me. Or is it because now I should start looking at myself more critically? It is maybe because of something that I've done with my own hands. Who can tell me? Or do we pick and choose? Huh? Or we blindfold ourselves and then, huh? These three, whatever. Which one is it when we go through some difficulties? Is it because Allah Azza wa Jalla loves me? Is it because simply Allah Azza wa Jalla wants this to happen? Or is it because of the sins that I committed? How do we reconcile between these three things? This is really meant to stimulate your mind. Because sometimes things go wrong in our lives, guys. And a lot of the time we don't know how to go about it. What steps to take. Or how to look at it. You've just gone through some financial difficulties. You've lost your job. Is it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just loves me and because of that He's trialing me? Or is it because of something that I've done? Things are going wrong in my marriage. Is it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me? Or is it because of something wrong that I've done? Who can tell me? Nobody goes through calamities and difficulties here? Huh, guys? Tfaddal. It's both? Okay, Jameel. Anyone else want to add anything to this? Huh? More towards the sin. Okay, good. Huh? You. You don't know. Say Allahu A'lam. And Allahu A'lam is half of knowledge. So if you say Allahu A'lam again, does that become full of knowledge? Ashahidu min al-kalam, my brothers and my sisters, the simple answer is that we don't know. We don't know if this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loving you. Has anyone met Allah Azza wa Jal for him to be told that Allah Azza wa Jal loves him? So the scholars, they say the way to reconcile all of this, my brothers and my sisters, is to be self-critical. And to put yourself in a win-win situation. If you tell yourself that this is because of a sin that I committed, if you're smart and intelligent, what are you going to do? Huh? You're going to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? You're going to seek forgiveness. You're going to sit there and say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. And you've just put yourself in that win-win situation, which is إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who constantly make tawbah, and those who are pure and they clean themselves. If it was because that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves you, you haven't lost anything. And if it was because of your sin, you've gone and you've made tawbah. This is a reminder from Allah Azza wa Jalla, calling you to pay attention before you are afflicted with a more serious incident. And it might well be, my brothers and my sisters, because of a sin that you committed. And I remember last year, I delivered a lecture right here, some of the effects of sins. And I mentioned, I think, maybe 7. And one of those that I mentioned was حِرْمَانُ الرِّزْقَ, being deprived of provision. How many of us, my brothers and my sisters, when something goes wrong, we blame ourselves? We go and seclude ourselves with Allah Azza wa Jal, maybe deep into the night, and we begin to think, maybe it's because of something that I done. Or we like the majority of human beings, huh? We point the finger, everybody except ourselves, when things go wrong. صح ولا لا? It's always his fault, it's always her fault. Even when there's things going wrong inside a marriage, we're blaming everybody else except ourselves. And we even blame the arbitrator who tried to solve our problems. No, you shouldn't have done that. One of the points that he mentioned, Ibn al-Qayyim, was حِرْمَانُ رِزْقَ. When one commits a sin, he is deprived of provision. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ رِزْقُ بِخَطِيئَةٍ يَعْمَلُهَا. One is deprived of provision because of the sin that he falls into. Also, what the scholars they bring as an example is what happened to Muhammad ibn Sirin. And I think all of us need this, my brothers and my sisters. Muhammad ibn Sirin, the great tabi'i. We always hear about the manhaj type of issues, right? Related to Muhammad ibn Sirin. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينَ. A famous statement that Muhammad ibn Sirin said is, this knowledge is your religion. So be very careful where you take your religion from. But also, my brothers and my sisters, something that doesn't tend to get mentioned is what happened to him at the end of his life when he was thrown into prison. You know why? Because of his deen. Because of his high amount of debt that he put himself in. And this debt that he got himself into was, my brothers and my sisters, he bought oil for 40,000 dinars. Dinar and dirhams, they were the pounds and the dollars of that time. And you know what happened, my brothers and my sisters? A rat got stuck inside of that oil. He took it on credit. And most businessmen, they take whatever they buy on credit, right? And then they sell it on, and that's how they make money. So a rat got stuck. And he was stricken with some serious poverty. Did he start blaming the person who sold him that oil? Sometimes we want to make ourselves think, right? Oh, it's probably him that left the rat inside. Or maybe he sold me this oil that still had the rat inside of it. So now when he was stricken with poverty, my brothers and my sisters, you know what he said, guys? Allah has now trialed me with this poverty because لِأَنَّنِي عَيَّرْتُ رَجُلًا بِالْفَقْرِ قَبْلَ 30 سَنَةً. It is because I degraded and I disgraced somebody. A poor man that I disgraced and I degraded. I looked down on him over 30 years ago. He remembered a sin, my brothers and my sisters, now the difficulty that he is going through because of a sin that he committed 30 years ago. How many of us think like that, guys? This is not the lecture about the effects of sins, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe you can go back to it, but I'm going to mention one more point before I speak about how to deal with a lot of these trials and these tribulations. The kind of mindset to have. Also from the effects sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, to why things start going wrong. Whether it might be in our marriages, whether it might be with the people around us. We begin to feel alienated. We tend to start feeling so down. we see that all the doors have been shut in our faces. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ. Some of the Salaf mentioned. When we say Salaf, who do we mean? The three golden generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'ut Tabi'een. Those who the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised. They said, إِنِّي لَأَعْصِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَأَرَى ذَلِكَ فِي دَابَّتِي وَامْرَأَتِي. I disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, then all of a sudden, I begin to see a change of attitude in my wife and also my riding animal. Wallahi guys, when I get invited over to solve the problems of brothers and sisters who are in marriages, maybe within the first five minutes it is clear why maybe there's so many problems. The amount of sin in their lives, you can't even enumerate. And you wonder why so many things are going wrong in your life. Recently I was dealing with a problem. The brother is trying to take a house out on riba. And you wonder why things are going wrong. You've just started a war with Allah Azza wa Jal. He's being accused of what? Also being arrogant. He doesn't listen. It's always about him, himself, and he. Also, the guy was speaking to women at 1 a.m. in the morning. When he's asked, oh, she's just my friend. Speak to your friend at 1 a.m. in the morning. And his wife is next to him. And you look at her. She's going outside, dressing in a very immodest way. This is a recipe for disaster. You're asking for it. So why all of a sudden now things are going towards a negative direction. So a lot of the time, my brothers and my sisters, it could be because of our sins. Also hear the statement of the great Tabi'i Malik ibn Dinar. He said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَسَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِكَ وَوَهَنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ تَكَلَّمْتَ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِيكَ. When now you begin to feel a hardness in your heart, and you begin to feel down and weak. You're not feeling weak because you didn't have your daily meals. No, you had three meals that day. You were fed nicely. You're not hungry at all, but still you're feeling so down. And then also you begin to see your rizq, your provision being deprived from you. And he says, then know that you have spoken about something that does not concern you. This is about speaking on something that has no relation to you. Imagine the one who is engaged in sin day and night. It's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? But I don't want to sit here, my brothers and my sisters, and increase the gloom and doom that we are experiencing. But my brothers and my sisters, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take something away that's really, really positive. You know, my brothers and my sisters, when we see all of these problems taking place, whether on a public scale or whether on an individual scale, it could really cause one now to start having bad thoughts of Allah Azza wa Jal. Su'a dhan billahi Azza wa Jal. When we see all of these Muslims being butchered, doesn't it make you feel sad? Doesn't it make you wonder, is there really, really a God? And I seen this from one of these very well-known atheists who came out and started saying, how dare you? Firstly, the atheist doesn't even believe in God, and then he's saying, how dare you? How dare you allow all of this to take place? Could really make somebody feel and question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have bad thoughts about it, right? So that's more on a larger scale. And then on the individual scale, when we feel like everything is going wrong, suicidal thoughts now begin to increase. Just the other day, a relative said to me, Khalas, I want to take my life. I've had enough. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَمُوتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُحْسِنُ أَضَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. None of you should die. Meaning should meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such state, except that he has good thoughts of Allah azza wa jal. And this is a characteristic, my brothers and my sisters, that is very, very crucial in times like this. And it comes with a lot of benefits and perks. You know what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said? وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. He swears by Allah Azza wa Jal. لَا يُحْسِنُ عَبْدٌ أَظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَّا عَطَاهُ إِيَّهِ وَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ الْخَيْرِ بِيَدِهِ. Never does a person have good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal when he's going through some of these difficulties, except that he's going to give it to him. And that is because the goodness is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you tell yourself things are only going to get worse, then you've only got yourself to blame. But if you tell yourself لَعَلَّ خَيْرٌ, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something better in store for me. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to cleanse in me, because there is light at the end of the tunnel. See this positive mindset. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is telling you, the great companion, there's never a time when you have good thought except Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to give it to you. And this book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, my brothers and my sisters, that is collecting dust, it is not meant to be there for, you know, to stay there in your rufuf on your shelves. It is for us to take a reminder from it. And nobody can give you information like Allah Azza wa Jalla. You can visit a psychiatrist. You can visit also, my brothers and my sisters, the marriage counselor. وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ. These stories inside the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'm going to mention a number of them. So we take this lesson from there. They serve as a reminder for us. They inspired the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was going through what? So much difficulty. And it should motivate and inspire us as well. It's not just there as a bedtime story. Allah tells us, فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Tell them about the stories in the Quran so that they may contemplate. Look at Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. We'll take a couple of prophets inshallah ta'ala. Story time. Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam went through a lot of grief and difficulty. صح ولا لا أليس كذلك. He lost his child who was very, very beloved to him, Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام. And he didn't stop there. Then he lost his second child until يعقوب عليه الصلاة والسلام became blind out of constantly crying, shedding tears. And he still didn't lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know what he says, Allah quotes, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain my sorrow and my grief to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he kept on what? Thinking good of Allah Azza wa Jal. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِينِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal is still going to what? Bring them all back to me. He's telling his kids, يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسَفُ وَأَخِي وَلَا تَيَّسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ. Oh children. And they were the children who took Yusuf and they threw him in the well, right? Because they had what? Envy. And they were jealous. Because Ya'qub, he loved Yusuf more than the rest of his brothers. And still he tells his children, يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفُ. Oh children, go. Go and search for your brother. And do not lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know the end of the story, right? After being so patient, after constantly thinking good of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal brought all of them together. وَرَفَعَ أَبُوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. He lifted his father onto the throne. وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they all prostrated to him. Some of the scholars, they say, from the time he saw that dream, when he told his father, I saw 11 stars prostrating to me, and I also saw the moon and the shams, the sun. It was around maybe what? 60 years. Some said 20, some said 40. From the time he saw that dream, all the way till the end of the surah, when they all prostrated. The dream interpretation was that his 11 brothers, they're all going to what? Prostrate to him. And the sun and the moon was his mom and his dad. All of that period went by and he was still patient, guys. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what? Was testing him through that. And we are in what? Darul Ibtila, my brothers and my sisters. We are not here, and this answers this atheist question. We're not here to live a happy life, to enjoy ourselves. This is Darul Ibtila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He who created the life and death just so He can test you. The greatest of the prophets and the messengers, they were tested to see who's going to come out with the best possible actions. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing a abd of His, a very beloved servant of His. 60 years. Guys, 60 years. He had to be what? Patient. Till he begins to see the coolness of his eyes. He had husnul dhan. And pay attention to this characteristic. He had good thought of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, my brothers and my sisters. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to his people, you know what they said to him? Udhina min qabli an ta'tiyana wa min ba'di ma ji'tana. We were harmed before you came, and we're still being harmed after you came. Fir'aun, the tyrant, what was he doing? Yudhabbihu abna'ahum wa yastahyi nisa'ahum. He would slaughter their kids and he would humiliate their women. And he would say to them, "Ista'inu billahi wasbiru. Inna al-arda lillahi yurithuha man yasha'u min ibadih." Seek aid and assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And be patient. For indeed the land is owned by Allah Azza wa Jal. And He's going to give authority to whoever He wills. So now they're running away from what? Fir'aun, right? We know the famous story. In front of him was what? The Bahar, the ocean. And behind him was the army of Fir'aun. فَأَتْبَعَهُمْ فِرْعَوْنُ وَجُنُودُ بَغْيًا وَعَدْوًا حَتَّى إِذَا أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرَقُ قَالَ آمَنْتُ. They looked at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. We're going to be caught now. We're going to be slaughtered. This was something that Fir'aun was known for. And on top of that, they waged a war against him. They ran away from him now with their religion. They said, "Inna la mudrakun, we're going to be caught." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "La, kalla, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen." Allah is with me and He's going to guide me. فأوحينا إلى موسى أن اضرب بعصاك البحر فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالطود العظيم وأزلفنا ثم الآخرين وأنجينا موسى ومن معه أجمعين. And the rest of the story is history. What we know of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found a way out for them. Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had good thought of Allah azza wa jal. Also, we have the same lesson, my brothers and my sisters, in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, my brothers and my sisters, was commanded by his Lord to leave his wife and his kid in the middle of nowhere. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتْ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَعٍ. He says, "Oh Allah, I have now situated my wife and my offspring in a place where there's no growth. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ." Oh Allah, make the hearts of the people come towards them. وَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And also, give them the growth and the crops from the earth. He's walking away from Hajar, his wife. And she's saying, calling out to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "Why are you doing this?" He's just walking straight. He's not looking to his left, nor is he looking to his right. She's walking. She asked him from very far, "Allahu amaraka bihada? Did your Lord command you to do this?" He said, "Yes, You know what she said, guys? لا يضيع عن الله. If that is the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to abandon us. Because of her having husnul dhan, my brothers and my sisters, a good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is it that which came out of this? The zamzam that we drink from today when we go for Umrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes to come out of the earth. Also through the offspring of Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, who came out from it? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also on top of that, she remains to be remembered till this very day. When you go for Umrah and you're rushing from Safa and Marwa, that name that will pop to your mind, my brothers and sisters, Hajar alayhi salatu wa salam. Ahsanat adhanna billahi azza wa jal. She had good thought of Allah azza wa jal. Then you also have the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, put yourself in his shoes. When he went to Ta'if, which is around 35 to 40 minutes from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah, his own people stoned him. His feet was bleeding. Malakul Jibal, the angel of the mountains, came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave him a choice. You know what they said to him? In shi'ta an utbiqa alayhim al-akhshabayn. If you will, we will get these two mountains and we will slam it on top of them. You know what his response was? He refused. These people just stoned him. They just made him bleed. He said, Inni la arju an yukhrij Allahu min aslabihim man ya'budu Allah wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. I hope from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring out from their loins people who worship Allah and they don't commit shirk. And today we find that this is an area where the people, the least that they have is a tawheed. They are Muslims, right? When before they were mushriks. His good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal. Another incident, my brothers and my sisters, that took place in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, one time the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping. He said, فَاسْتَيْقَطْتُ, I woke up. There was an A'rabi. There was a Bedouin. He had his sword out. سَلْطَطًا أَيْ بَارِزًا فِي يَدِهِ. It was out like this. You know what he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي الْيَوْمِ. Who's going to stop me today from chopping your head off? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him. He goes, Allah is going to stop you. In some narrations, he dropped the sword, he dropped it. And in other narrations, he went and he sat down. He had good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, when they went into the cave, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِي لَا تَحْزَنْ. They were in the little cave. And he's telling his friend Abu Bakr, do not be sad. Abu Bakr states that had they looked under their feet, they would have saw them. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling Abu Bakr, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What makes you think it's only two of us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the third. Good thought of Allah Azza wa Jal. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, when you're going through these trials and these tribulations, look at those who went through more difficulty than you. Look at those who are more fortunate. These prophets and these messengers, they are meant to be there for us to look at and take lessons from their difficulties. When you get driven out of your home because you are practicing or because you're a newly reverted individual and your family has boycotted you and exiled you from your home, remember Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, when he was thrown into the fire by his own blood father. When the people are mocking you because of being a Muslim and they call you backwards, somebody who follows a religion that doesn't make quote in quote out sense, Remember Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was mocked and when he was humiliated by his own people. And Allah tells us, وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُ مِنْهِ. He was making a ship, right? He told his own child, يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَمْ مَعَنَا. Get on the ship. But his child refused. While he was making the ship, every time his people, they walked past, they started laughing and joking and mocking Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And remember who had the last laugh. It was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Allah Azza wa Jal saved him. And for you is salvation. As long as you don't give in and you don't become weak when people are making fun of you because you have a beard. Or maybe because you're dressed in an Islamic manner. When you feel like, my brothers and my sisters, that the whole world is coming down on top of you. Remember Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, who was inside of three darknesses. The darkness of the night, the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the stomach of the whale. He ran away from his people, right? After he tried to give them da'wah. وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. 100,000 people, they were ready. Over there, he was there to give da'wah to them. Because they didn't accept, he went away from them. He wasn't there patient. So he was thrown into the sea. And he was swallowed by a whale. Three darknesses, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the stomach of the whale. And he still called out to Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal saved him from it. When things are getting difficult, my brothers and my sisters, think of situations like that. Also, inshallah ta'ala, guys, what I'm going to conclude with is some practical steps. When we go through these calamities and these difficulties, what is the first step that I should take? One of the first things, my brothers and my sisters, that you should do is something called istirja'. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raj'un. Inna lillahi, for indeed we belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. And indeed we are going to be returning back to Him. And there's a dua, my brothers and my sisters, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, before she married the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she went through a fatality. Her husband passed away, known as Abu Salama. When he passed away, she remembered the dua that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them. This dua was, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati وَأَخْلِفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Oh Allah, reward me for the calamity that I'm going through. And also replace for me that which is better. When she said this dua, who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her later on? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she mentioned that Allah azza wa jalla gave me the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of those who are walking on the face of this earth. Also, my brothers and my sisters, when you go through that difficulty, something that has become mahjoor, barely anybody does it, when they're feeling anxiety, agony, stress, it's the rush to the salah, to pray two rak'at. And this is exactly what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. As Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, he said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ. Whenever the Messenger was experiencing some difficulty, he was going through some pain, he would rush to the salah. Guys, I'm going to ask you guys a question. There's times, right, when we're going through some difficulty, we go and sit in front of the creation, sah? And we're complaining, we're going through this, and we're going through that, and then this happened. And the guy is looking at you. Sometimes the guy doesn't want to tell you, like he's busy. Just wants to get up and leave. A lot of the time he can't do anything for you. But we're sitting there for hours just complaining. When he might not necessarily be able to do anything for you. Why is it, my brothers and my sisters, we don't rush into the salah? When the salah is there for you to cry your eyes out to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what the messenger used to do. Even Allah Azza wa Jal, he commanded him in the end of Surah Al-Hijr, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Because we know, Allah tells him, we know that how tight your chest is because of what they keep saying to you. What did Allah tell him? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. Do tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And by praising Allah, saying alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And be from those who are in sujood. Because the closest, my brothers and my sisters, that you can get to Allah Azza wa Jal, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُ سَاجِدٍ. The closest that one gets to Allah Azza wa Jal is in his what? In his sujood. And if you make that sujood, my brothers and my sisters, in the last part of the night, it's even better. Because another narration that says, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الرَّبُّ مِنْ الْعَبْدِ فِي ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ. The closest that Allah comes to the servant is in the last third of the night. So you're there making dua in your sujood, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to help you. And wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, it can happen in a split of a moment. The Messenger told us, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever doesn't ask Allah, Allah becomes angry with him. As opposed to the creation. You ask him today, he helps you. Ask him again, he might not help you and you feel humiliated, right? And then you go keep bugging him. This guy's always asking us. He's always coming to me. Go somewhere else. Leave me alone. I'm busy, right? Go and make wudu, my brothers and my sisters, when you're going through that difficulty. Go and pray two raka'at. Partake in a long sujood, crying out your eyes to Allah, begging Allah for whatever you need, and see how you feel after that. There's one time, my brothers and my sisters, I was going through some serious pain. This is many, many years ago. This pain was with me for 3 months. 3 months, because of an incident that took place. And I don't want to go into the ins and the outs. As I was making dua, came to my mind, let me just go and pray two raka'at. I went and made wudu, prayed two raka'at. I was in my sujood, and wallahi, guys, from the moment I finished, it's as if that pain was being what? Snatched out of my body. And I felt great after that. And I was suffering from that for the last 3 months. So what did we mention now? We mentioned the issue of the salah. We mentioned that a person, he sits and he what? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Also, my brothers and my sisters, what will increase your chances of your dua and the response of Allah Azza wa Jal is if you have a good relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal at times of ease. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the times when things are going well. And He will be there for you when you're going through difficulties. He will be there for you when you're going through difficulties. Imagine, my brothers and my sisters, anytime we need something in our life, it comes to you straight away. Have we been ever in this position where you think to yourself, oh subhanAllah, I was thinking about that and then it came to me. Put your hand up, you felt like that before. Huh? You're just thinking about something, it comes to you. Huh? I can see some people nodding their heads. Imagine your life was like that. Because you are somebody what? Who constantly remembers Allah Azza wa Jal. And the message of Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Make mention of me and I will make mention of you. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in Hadith al-Qudsi that when the abd, he keeps gaining closeness to Allah through what? Obligatory acts and then sunnah acts. وَلِنْ إِسْتَعَاذَنِي لَوْعِيذَنَّهِ وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَوْعْتِيَنَّهِ. Because you kept on having a relationship outside the times when things were going difficult, right? The moment you need it, Allah is going to respond back to you straight away. Guys, is it really difficult to say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah when you're going back and forth, wherever you're going? When you're in your car, you're just saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. On a 2-hour journey, my brothers and my sisters, huh? If you're driving and you put your mind to it, you could do over 3,000 astaghfirullah. Making mention of Allah Azza wa Jal, saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Even maybe more than that. It's really, really not difficult. And the benefits of istighfar and, you know, doing dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal is many. And one of them is, I'll just mention one inshaAllah ta'ala, the hadith of the man who came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, inna shara'i' al-islami khad kathura alayya. Man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulullah, the obligations of al-Islam has become too much. Has become too much. People think when they look at this hadith, that he was asking the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him a holiday from some of the ibadah. That wasn't the case. He was asking for something, okay, that is now going to lighten the burden of these ibadat, these worships that he keeps doing, which might be very difficult on the body. So he said to him, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. Keep your tongue moist of the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, of the remembrance of Allah, and your fasting will become easy. Your salah, you'll begin now to what? Feel better. You begin to feel the joy inside the ibadat that may have just become like a routine for many of us. And last but not least, my brothers and my sisters, look what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, كان شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية إذا اشتدت عليه الأمور. Whenever matters became really difficult, قرأ آيات السكينة. He would begin to read the verses that have tranquility in it. The verses that speak about tranquility. And there's six of them. And I'll quickly mention it. The first one is Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 248. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ آيَةَ مُلْكِهِ. Inshallah, maybe go back to the recording if you don't have a pen and paper. The first one is Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 248. الثاني, the second one is the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 26. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Ayah number 3, Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 40. إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ. When they were in the cave, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, he told them, don't be sad. Don't be sad. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sent down upon them what? Sakina, calmness and coolness and tranquility. Ayah number 4, Surah Al-Fath, ayah number 4. The fifth ayah is again in Surah Al-Fath, ayah number 18. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. And ayah number 6, إِذْ جَعَلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْحَمِيَةِ. It's also in Surah Al-Fath, ayah number 26. So three verses in Surah Al-Fath, ayah number 4, ayah number 26, and ayah number 18. And then you have two in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 26 and ayah number 40. And then one in Surah Al-Baqarah, and that is ayah number 248. Look what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions. He said, وَسَمِعْتُهُ يَقُولَ. I heard him one time say, في واقعة عظيمة. He was afflicted with a very serious, difficult calamity. جرت له في مرضه تعجز العقول عن حملها. He had such a bad, serious sickness, my brothers and my sisters. It was a type of sickness that the mind can't even imagine. That's what Ibn al-Qayyim is mentioning by his teacher. And he began to think that it was the shayateen, the devils, who were waging a war against him. The jinn. قال فلما اشتدت عليه او فلما اشتد عليه الامر قلت لأقاربي. He says when things got really difficult, I told some of my relatives to read these آيات. ومن حولي اقرأوا آيات السكينة. قال ثم أقلع عني ذلك الحال وجلست وما بي قلبه. When they did that, all of a sudden I became normal and I just carried on with my life. When before that, all those who are intellectuals, they weren't able to come to the bottom of what the sickness was. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? So we spoke, my brothers, a lot about a lot of things. There is that characteristics that we can take home today, and that is حسن الظن, having good thoughts of Allah Azza wa Jalla when we're going through some of these difficulties. Always look on the bright side. Sometimes Allah takes something away from you, but because He's protecting you from a bigger evil, you only realize later on. How many times have we found ourselves in that situation? Oh, subhanAllah, imagine if I still had that, I wouldn't have this. And some of you guys may agree. I will agree to that. There's things that have happened that Allah took away. But then later on, it played so well due to some of the things that happened. Maybe if that thing was still present, it wouldn't have happened. And we always say, Alhamdulillah. Also, my brothers and my sisters, we're self-critical of ourselves when things are going wrong. Instead of us just blaming everyone else except ourselves, go and sit alone, do astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, ask Allah for forgiveness, and you're, whatever the case it might be, you're in a win-win situation. And then you have some of these points that we just mentioned. Remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Make mention of Him at times of ease. Also rush to Allah Azza wa Jal in salah. And so on and so forth. I think that went on for like what? A whole hour? Huh? And I think that is a lot that we've mentioned. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard and to make us from those who, when they hear the reminder, they act upon it and they don't just put it through one ear and take it out of the other. Inshallah ta'ala. Khalas, so. Okay, tayyib.
JazakAllah khair, Ustad, for that very beneficial reminder, alhamdulillah. If any brothers and sisters have any questions, brothers can raise their hands, inshallah. From the sisters, we have a question here. You know, you have questions? Okay. Is it permissible to publicly make du'as on social groups? Example, may Allah reward all your efforts, or should you simply keep any du'a in your heart?
So the question is asking, is it permissible to ask others to make du'a for you, right, in social groups, like on WhatsApp? Sometimes somebody says, brothers, make du'a for me, I'm going through some illness, I'm going through some difficulty, sah? Or is it better to make your own du'a? لا شك ولا ريب, it is better to make your own dua. It is better to make your own dua. To put your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Allah Azza wa Jal yourself. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it tells us in the hadith, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ حَيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ لَيَرُدُ مَا سِفْرَ. Allah is too shy and He's too generous. That when His servant stretches out his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal like this, that He sends him back empty-handed. And we know in your sujood, you have the opportunity 5 times a day, and in each salah, maybe sometimes, in every rak'ah twice, right? Allah is saying to you, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَاءَ فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And when my servant, he asks, I am close. Allah is saying to you, if you don't ask, I become angry with you. The Messenger says, مَنْ لَمْ يَسَلَ يَغْضِبْ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever doesn't ask, Allah becomes angry with him. So you should have that constant habit of asking Allah Azza wa Jal. And I always say this, guys. Impossible should not exist in a Muslim's dictionary. You guys know impossible? You've seen that movie before, right? Mission Impossible. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know which number it's on. Huh? Mission Impossible doesn't exist. Everything is possible, any place, any time. It is just down to you as a Muslim to ask Allah Azza wa Jal and to refrain from the things that is going to stop your dua being accepted. That is your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, asking others, it's not haram. It really isn't. But like we said, it is better. And if you ask somebody to make dua for you, في ظهر الغيب, in your absence, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what was the hadith again? نعم دعوة الرجل لأخيه مستجابة في ظهر الغيب. The dua that a man might make for his brother in his absence is مستجابة. على رأسه ملك موكل يقول آمين ولك مثل. Above his head is an angel that has been given the responsibility to say آمين. And you have the same as well. You basically end up killing two birds with one stone. You're making dua for your brother while you're benefiting as well. And Shaykh Uyasam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that asra'u, the quickest of du'as that get accepted is one that he makes for his brother in his absence. Yeah, this was asked me the other week as well. Yeah, and one of the mashayikh that came, he mentioned that's impermissible. Is it haram working in a cash in hand job without paying tax as a last option? What do you think, guys? Well, I know some of the mashayikh, when they came after, they gave the fatwa that it's haram, you can't do that. You have to abide by the law of the land. Are you allowed to cross the red light? Huh? It's the law of the land, right? But I know a lot of people still do it. صح ولا لا? You have to abide by the law of the land. As long as we're not being told to do something haram and things like that, because they claim, what you call it, tax goes towards the general interest of the people. Allah knows best. Some people, they pay more tax than others. And ala kulli hal, I'm just giving you guys the fatwa. This is a bit too above my head. Hakada, yani the mashayikh, they gave the fatwa that you still have to abide by it. And what's even more haram is that if you're getting a cash in hand, and this is without a shadow of a doubt, I'll tell you this. You're claiming job seekers allowance, where you get £250 from the government, and then you're working, taking cash in hand. When I first came back from my Yemen, my dad forced me to go to the job seekers allowance for 2 months. It was the most humiliating experience. But anyways, point of the matter is, I went there for the first 2 months. And it was really good as well, because I began to understand the system. They say to you, any money that is coming in, you have to declare it. Alhamdulillah, 2 months later, I ended up getting a madrasa teaching job where I was getting 350. No, sorry, I was getting first 250. Ooh, it's times like that. 250 from the government, 250 from madrasa. That's £500. But wallahi, guys, لا بركة في مالك. You won't have barakah from your mal. This was like maybe 5 years ago. My dad was forcing me because I was in Yemen. I had to get back into the system. I was like a John Doe. No, I wasn't, you know, I had to like fit back into the system. على كل حال, هذا حرام. They're giving you money based on you not having any income. And even more worse than that, a woman, she claims, that she's single. Benefit fraud. And she's getting a lot of money. هذا لا شك ولا ريب أنه حرام. It's cheating the government. You're not even allowed to cheat the kuffar. هذا لا يجوز. And then the guy comes through the window.
So the first question. So the first question Ustad answered was, is it permissible to publicly make dua on social groups? Example, may Allah reward all your efforts, or should you simply keep any dua in the heart?
Is it like, for example, social media, when To publicly ask or make du'as. I said, is it permissible to publicly du'as? Okay. On social groups, يعني, may Allah... I thought they were making du'a for me. May Allah reward all of your efforts. Yeah, to say that, in a text, really, I think that's what it means. So I think we misunderstood the question. I thought when you guys mentioned in the question, may Allah reward all your efforts, you was making du'a for me. But anyways, ameen, inshallah, you can still make that du'a. But is it permissible to publicly make du'as? يعني, oh, may Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. It's not haram at all to make du'a for somebody, but it's better to do it in his absence. It's better to do it in his absence. As for sending the du'a to that person, it could get accepted, it could not. But the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, da'watu al-rajul li akhihi al-muslimi mustajabatun fi dhahri al-ghayb. So he does it in his absence, like, you know, it's you're killing two birds with one stone. Sorry, we gave it to all the sisters. But ladies first, you know? Okay, very good question. You have the Hanabil and also the Hanafiya. And before I answer your question, there's something else that I want to mention. You have the Hanabil and also the Hanafiya, as opposed to Imam Shafi and also Imam Malik. They say you can't make dua except that which has been authentically reported in your salah. For example, we have du'as, right? That in the Quran, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan, which has Rabbana in there, right? Only that which has been authentically reported. So you can't say in your sujood, oh Allah, give me a nice car. And we're talking about the Arabic language. This is in the Arabic language. That's two out of the four madahib. But ala kulli hal, the stronger view is that you can make dua whatever you want. Because that's exactly what came into the hadith where the Messenger of Allah said, ثُمَّ لِيَتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الدُّعَى عَجَبُهُ إِلَيْهِ. After you finish doing your tahiyyat, the Messenger said, make whatever dua that you want. So that is a stronger view. Then the question that arises is, that's what the Maliki and also the Shafi'i took. The question that he's asking now, okay, can I say it in English? Some scholars say yes and some scholars say no. And those who say no, they actually say that your salah is going to become invalidated if you now make dua with other than that which has been authentically reported. So to cut a long story short, it's an issue that the scholars have differed on, right? A safer way around this, and I heard Sheikh Muhammad Mukhtar al-Shanqiti mention this, is that you say the very well-known comprehensive dua. As Anas ibn Malik, he mentioned, كان أكثر دعاء رسول الله. The excessive dua that Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make was, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. What is this dua? You're asking Allah for all the good of the dunya, all the good of the akhirah, and you're asking Him to protect you from the fire. Can you see how comprehensive that is? But also when you make that dua in the sujood, you make the intention of what you want it for. So you want a nice, lovely looking blonde wife or whatever, huh? You make the intention. Wadih. You make the intention and you what? You say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Oh, however you want her to look. Huh? After? The brother's asking even after the first one. Yeah, why not? وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا. The giving of your Lord is not restricted. Just don't get heard saying that loudly when you're at home. نعم. تفضل.
Most of the cures or remedies, if you mentioned, are like religious or Islamic or spiritual, if you will. Is that sufficient for us, or do you reckon, you know, we should seek medical help, like for somebody who's depressed or stressed, like counseling, like medicine?
Yeah, you can. You can go to counseling. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran, in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prophetic tradition, they told us how there is a direct link between how a person feels, whether it's depression, whether it's when you get stressed, or whether, you know, when you're feeling really, really down. There's a number of reasons for it. You see? But one can go seek that advice. For example, now I'll give you another example, anger management. Anger management. There's courses that you take. I've put together 7 points on anger management. And wallah, it works. And what Allah Azza wa Jal can tell you is not like anybody else. You see? Yes, I'm not saying whatever the kuffar tell you is wrong. No. It might be able to benefit you. But you find that what you find through the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger, like Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, whoever turns away from his remembrance, he's going to live a depressed life. And how do you turn away from Allah Azza wa Jalla? By doing the things you shouldn't be doing. Slacking when it comes to your salat, your ibadat. When we go to Umrah, put your hand up, you went to Umrah. Huh? Most of us, how do you feel when you've just done Umrah and you've come back? Your iman sky high, sah wa la la? And over there you're away from fitna and a lot of filth and evil, alayhis kadhalik? Hadi ta'a. But when you're here sometimes because you end up falling into something. Like I have a cousin, I've been advising him for maybe over 3 years now. He mentioned to me after the month of Ramadan, you know, mashallah, he got back into, and in the month of Ramadan, we feel great as well. He stayed away from his girlfriend. Eid day comes, he calls him. He was telling himself, oh, I'm just going to go there, you know, I'm just going to talk to him, I'm going to leave. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters, he told me that they end up doing it inside of the car. He goes, it's as if somebody broke my heart. I felt so empty inside straight after it. And I began to hate myself. This is just like real life examples that I'm giving to you guys. You see? And after, like, you know, just maybe 24 hours before that, he felt great. Just came out of the month of Ramadan. And then all of a sudden, how does he go from being that high and that low? A space of a moment. You know,
what tip would you give to have that work-life sort of balance? Like, how would you sort of push a person to strive? Because some people don't want to fall behind in their dream because the work gets too much.
So the Prophet is asking, how do you balance between work life and also just having that connection with Allah? Yeah? Guys, one of the greatest ways to stay firm, to be steadfast upon the religion, and I'm talking to the brothers here, is to be praying in Salatul Jama'ah. That you push yourself. Just the other day I was listening to a Sheikh Salim Al-Tawil, he's been to the UK before from Kuwait. Because I don't say I've seen a couple. Not even tens, not even hundreds. I can say alaf, thousands of people that I personally know. He was practicing, but then he fell off. And that was because he started furthering himself away from the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. He started becoming more further and further away from, and he just what ended up falling off. That constant taraddud, going back and forth from the masjid, really keeps a person strong. It really does. It keeps that relationship, that good vibe around you. People, all of those who have attended, they've come to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a buzz when you come to the masjid. As to feeling shallow, you know, just being in the environment where every direction you look, that's haram. The salah, la shakka wa la rayb. And on top of that, you do it inside a jama'ah. Coming to the masjid all the time. Salatul Fajr likewise. It's one of the greatest asbab. Doing that in jama'ah that keeps you firm. If you can't do Dhuhr and Asr because you're working, but you're still praying at your workplace, that keeps your iman high, it really does. And then Maghrib and Isha, you make sure that you don't miss that salah inside of the masjid. And you find if your salah is okay, is upright, everything else will be upright as well. وَمَنْ ضَيَّعَ الصَّلَاةَ فَمَا سِوَاهُ أَضْيَعَ, as the scholars they mentioned. And whoever wastes salah, everything else is going to start going downhill. This is why when I see a roadman, sometimes I'm driving, I see a couple of, you know, drug dealers, crackheads standing around who are Muslim. I come up to them and I say, guys, I don't want anything more than 2 minutes of your time. A lot of the time they're very respectful enough to put out whatever they're doing. And I just tell them one thing. Guys, 25 minutes of your day. I'm not telling you to leave your girlfriend. I'm not telling you to leave whatever bad, evil thing that you're doing. Just pray. Go to the masjid, 25 minutes of your day. Is it fair that you give so much hours to other than Allah and Allah Azza wa Jalla created you for one particular purpose? You don't give them 25 minutes. And some of them really feel guilty about that when you tell them that. And Allah tells us, why do I tell them this? Because Allah says, the salah, it removes the filth and the evil of your life. Wallahi, you lose out on the salah. Don't be surprised why you totally lose control in what you do. In filth and evil. A brother that I told, one time I got out of the car and I told him this. 1 year later he came for Umrah. I saw him in the Zamzam Pullman Hotel. He came up to me. And he said to me, do you remember me? I mean, I'm looking at him. The guy's got a beard. He's wearing a thobe. MashaAllah, you can see the nur on his face. Like, no, I don't. He goes, you came up to us that day and you just told us pray. So me, even though I was still carrying on my drugs things and you know, I just started praying. And when you start praying, you begin to feel uncomfortable in that bad lifestyle that you have. Slowly, slowly, that evil and that filth will begin to disappear. You see, and that's very, very vital. Whatever you are doing, just make sure you stay upright in that, and inshallah you'll be okay. I think that's JazakumAllah khair, my brothers and my sisters, for attending and listening attentively. It's lovely to see all of you youngsters. I didn't see you guys last year, so it's nice to see you guys. JazakumAllah khairan wa ahsanallahu ilaykum. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And inshallah, hopefully I'll see you guys next year, because I'm leaving in 1 week. And if I don't see you guys, I ask Allah to gather us all in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la, just like we united and gathered today. جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته